Thank you, Dan, for that. I don't feel worthy of those words. I will tell you, for everyone here, that I also do not feel worthy to stand up here today. If this keeps giving me some grief, we're just going to push through it. I have all my stuff right here in front of me. PowerPoint's just for fun. I don't know how to start tonight. This is the first sermon really where I'm having trouble figuring out how to start my sermon. In fact, this entire sermon has given me trouble personally, because I know I'm probably the least qualified person in this room to talk about this, and giving me trouble organizationally, because I don't know how to start it. This is pretty distracting, so I'm going to unplug this for now. Tell you what, we're going to get into this. I'll have some more comments at the end here. Sure. I hope that this sermon is a sermon of encouragement for you. It was a lesson for me. But I have the scriptures down here, so I'm going to ask you then that if we can't have the slide up here, if you can follow along on your scriptures app or in your scriptures, that'd be just grand. We're going to start with 2 Nephi. 2 Nephi 1:1-15. And it says, Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. Adam fell that men might be. You know, without the fall of Adam, men would not exist. Adam fell that men might be. Okay? And men are. We are who we are now. We have our existence. We live our life in this world as we know it. That we might have joy. Adam's fall allowed for the opportunity for men, for women, for us to be who we are, to have the life that we live, so that we can experience and exercise joy. The title of my sermon tonight is the phrase that I thought of when tasked with preaching tonight: make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. I'm going to turn to Psalm 95, 1 through 7. Psalm 95, 1 through 7. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The seas is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. I have a question for you. When was the last time you made a joyful noise? Think about that. Mull that over in your mind a little bit as we keep going through here. Let's look at one more scripture. Psalm 98, 4 through 9. Flip a couple pages over. Psalm 98, verses 4 through 9. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Make a joyful noise. You know, what is a joyful noise? I have a slide here that would show you the Strong's definition of some of the uses where maybe you would find the phraseology, especially in the Old Testament, about making a joyful noise. It means to mar, especially by breaking, or figuratively, to split the ears with sound, to shout for alarm or for joy, to blow an alarm, to cry an alarm, cry aloud. It means to destroy. Make a joyful noise, smart, shout for joy, sound an alarm, triumph. When was the last time you made a joyful noise? Some examples for you. I know if you're taking notes, I understand if this is a little fast, but just some little snippets. Psalm 65:3. This is they shout for joy. Psalm 95:4 says, make a joyful noise. Psalm 108:9 says, will I triumph? These are all uses of this meaning. And Proverbs 13:20, shall be destroyed. All those phrases there, those four examples, are all for this meaning. This meaning to shout, to make a joyful noise, to sound an alarm, to triumph. Let's take these things and stick them in our back pocket for just a little later. I'm going to flip over to Psalm 100. It says, Psalm 100, we're going to read all verses, it's only five. Verses 1 through 5. It's a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Stick your finger on that. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I was sitting here listening to our brother Dan read the announcements. He read the note here from our brother Dan Hedrick and his recovery. Make a joyful noise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I enjoy reading Matthew Henry's commentary. I have a little snippet here from this. This is Psalm 95, which we read just a little bit ago. I want to talk about spiritual joy. Spiritual joy. I have to tell you something before I start this. You know, I think, admittedly, this is my greatest spiritual struggle. I like to feel sorry for myself. You know, when I'm struggling with stuff or when I'm stressed out, I don't think I am a joyful person. I don't think I have much joy in my struggle. I know a lot of you in this room have gone through or are currently going through more adversity than I promise you I've ever faced in my life. I am not standing up here tonight preaching to you about why you need to do better or why you need to do a better job exercising joy. I want to bring to your minds a remembrance and an understanding and a thankfulness of all the amazing things in which we should have and exercise joy. This is a lesson for me. It's an encouraging lesson. I don't think I can look at my wife right now because she could probably think of a couple recent examples of where I wasn't that joyful. But again, I don't feel very qualified to stand up here. And so please don't take this as I'm getting after you. But I want us to think about these things. I want us to think about this joy. Where can we identify these things? Anyways, I digressed. Let's go back to this commentary. Matthew Henry's commentary on Psalm 95. Just one or two sentences. Bear with me if you would, please. We're talking about spiritual joy. It says, spiritual joy is the heart and soul of thankful praise. Let's see if this will pop up here for you. Oh, you turn it off. Sorry, I got you. Maybe this will help. I'll keep reading. Spiritual joy is the heart and soul of thankful praise. It is the will of God. So spiritual joy, according to Matthew Henry, is the heart and soul of thankful praise. It is the will of God, such is the condescension of his grace, that when we give glory to him as a being infinitely perfect and blessed, we should at the same time rejoice in him as our Father and King and a God in covenant with us. Interesting. Spiritual joy is the heart and soul of thankful praise. You know, I would like for us to maybe think about, I don't think that turned on, but that's okay. I would like for us to think about a time in our life when we can honestly give the Lord our heart and soul and be in thankful praise and not be joyous about it. Now, you may be wondering, all right, Cody, so what is this? What does joy mean? How are you going to define that? I can think of a couple times when I haven't been very happy about it. We'll get into that. But think about that. Spiritual joy is the heart and soul of thankful praise. So what is spiritual joy? Dan, do you know if that turned on? If it didn't, that's okay.
I pushed the wrong button a couple of times.
Oh, I pushed the off button. It's one of those days.
I pushed the on trying to turn it off.
Hey, that's all right. Spiritual joy, heart and soul of thankful praise. What is this spiritual joy? When this pulls up, I'm going to show you. It says, this is from Richard's Complete Bible Dictionary. This is another reference I took that I want to be able to show you. And I don't want to present these references to something as I'm saying that they're scripture. What I'm using them for is to get us to be able to think of these examples in our lives, to be able to identify what this spiritual joy looks like inside each one of us. From this, it says, what is spiritual joy? Let me play this here. And this pops up. In the Old Testament, essentially, a sense of exaltation rooted in God and God's acts for his people, which typically is expressed in exuberant public worship. Make a joyful noise, right? In the New Testament, an inner sense of exaltation and confidence in God, which the Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers in which we experience despite our sufferings. Couple things from the Old Testament. It says joy is experienced when God acts for his people. We're talking about harvest time, military victories, other evidences of God's faithfulness. And in the Old Testament specifically, joy is a shared experience. It's closely linked to the worship of the faith community. Joy is an expressive emotion, providing glad shouts, dancing and song, enthusiasm or excitement brought to worship. The first thing I think about is the story of David being a little excited, running through the streets when I think of that. Joy is found by individuals in their personal relationship with the Lord. Confidence in God is expressed not only in expectant hope, but in a pervading sense of joy when our thoughts turn to the Lord. New Testament. Number one, joy comes from this Holy Spirit. There's joy in observing Christ's commands. There's joy in suffering and temptations. There's joy in serving fellow Christians. Quote here, if it's still up on the screen, Scripture usually sets joy apart from mere happiness. Scripture usually sets joy apart from mere happiness. Even the joy of the Old Testament saints and material blessings is rooted not in the things themselves, but in the evidence they provide of God's covenant love. In the New Testament, joy often wells up in the most painful and desperate situations. Such joy, known by those who are obedient to Jesus, is supernaturally produced as we look ahead with confidence to reaffirm our faith in the goodness and the ultimate triumph of our God. Joy apart from mere happiness, supernaturally produced to reaffirm our faith in the goodness and ultimate triumph of our God. You know, Psalm 97:12 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at his remembrance of holiness. Sounds pretty important. You know, Psalm 5:11 states, I don't think I have it on this next slide. Psalm 5:11 states, sorry, when I switched slides, I lost it. Bear with me, please. Psalm 5:11 states that, quote, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Let them ever shout for joy." There's a couple themes that we're looking at here. A couple themes that you can pick up on from the Old Testament. A couple themes that are identified here in the New Testament. But a lot of these that we can identify now. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. I don't know if I'm ready to make this point just quite yet, but this should tie these scriptures together in just a second. I have three questions for you as we go along here tonight. Number one, you can answer me verbally or by yourself, that's fine. Number one, is experiencing joy, spiritual joy, a choice? Yes or no? Okay, yes, okay? You say yes. Is experiencing joy a choice? Yes. Do you experience joy or spiritual joy? Apart from mere happiness, do you experience spiritual joy? Right now, in this room right now, I'm not asking you like this high concept or something philosophical. I mean, right now, are you experiencing, or can you say that you in your life have spiritual joy? Do you want to?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Glenn, you can take the night off. The rest of you got to stay here. Let me ask these a little different for you. Do you believe that you must choose joy? Would you describe your spiritual life at this moment as joyful? And do you have a desire for your spiritual life to be joyful? We're going to dig into question number one here, because honestly, I can't answer number two and three for you. I don't think anybody can except for you. This is going to be a long reading, so please follow along. I don't have it up on the slides, but please do follow along, and I'll have a summary at the end on the slides. But we're going to go to 2 Nephi. 2 Nephi, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 101 through 121. I'll say that one more time. 2 Nephi, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 101 through 121. It says, "And I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that which is written, had fallen from heaven. Wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God. And because that he had fallen from heaven, and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind. Wherefore he saith unto Eve, yea, even that old serpent, which is the devil, which is the father of all lies, wherefore he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die, but ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And after that Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out from the Garden of Eden to till the earth. And they had brought forth children, yea, even the family of all the earth. And the days of the children of men were prolonged, according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Wherefore their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave a commandment that all men must repent. For he showed all men that they were lost because of the transgression of their parents. And now, behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. And all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were after that they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. To act for themselves, and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death, according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. To summarize, Satan, it auto-corrected to Stan. So if there are any Stans in the audience or watching online, I apologize. Satan wants you to be miserable like him. In the Lord's wisdom, Adam fell. The Lord provided a way to overcome sin and misery through repentance, goodness, and joyfulness. Christ came to redeem men from this fall, and redemption allowed for the freedom of choice, liberty and eternal life, or captivity and death. So, why is this important? Well, number one, joy is a choice. Spiritual joy is a choice. Don't you find it interesting that in this scripture that we read at the very beginning, this is 2 Nephi 1, 1:15, it says, Adam fell that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. Don't you find it interesting that in the scripture it says that men might have joy? It doesn't say they will. It doesn't say they must. It doesn't even say they're required. It says they might. Do you experience this spiritual joy? Satan wants you to be plain miserable. I've said this in a sermon before, but I'm going to say it one more time. You know, for the longest time, I always thought as Satan as like this comic book villain, you know. I don't think that's the right way to be thinking about that. Do you realize he desires your misery? I'm not saying that life is all sunshine and rainbows. I don't have to tell any of you in this room that. There are those of you out there that have gone through the ringer, or those of you that have been raked over the coals, physically and mentally. But you don't have to be miserable. You know that? Satan desires to make you miserable. Are you letting him? If you answered yes to 2 and 3, Glenn, I'm talking to you, fantastic, okay? Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Satan still desires to have you be miserable. Don't let your guard down. Don't let him make you miserable. Choose joy. As we read earlier, that reference from Richards, he said that such joy is known by those who are obedient to Jesus. That it's supernaturally produced as we look ahead with confidence to reaffirm our faith in the goodness and ultimate triumph of our God. What is a joyful noise? A shout of joy, a shout for joy, a triumph. Shall be destroyed, a breaking, a marring, a breaking of what Satan wants for you. A triumph of joy in the Lord. Choose joy. So often, I let myself choose to just be plain miserable. And I do it to myself. Choose joy. Very short reading, Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to read 5 verses, 47 through 52. This scripture that we're going to read, you're going to see that they are being given commandments. The Israelites are given commandments. It is a warning too, a direct and applicable warning to the wandering Israelites. Let's read it and I'll come back. Chapter 28, verses 47 through 52. It says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Do you remember how we just talked about in the Old Testament that those physical blessings? Keep that in mind. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep until he hath destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, and to the high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest through all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, and on and on and on. This scripture reminds us the importance of serving the Lord with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. You know, in short, if the Israelites here did not serve the Lord, not just serve the Lord, but if they did not serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart, they would be, and their nation would be, physically miserable. Today, if you don't serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart, you will be spiritually miserable. Psalm 100 that we read says to serve the Lord with gladness. Okay, now, let's go back to the scripture. 28, let's start at 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve the enemies of the Lord. You will probably serve the spiritual enemy of the Lord then. You against thee will be hunger and thirst. I'm pretty sure Christ told us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Sounds exactly like what Satan wants to do. He wants to make you miserable. He wants to destroy you. He wants to steal your joy. We don't have to go back and read through all these, but you can see the similarity between the physical warning of the Israelites and a spiritual warning for us. Choose joy. Make a joyful noise. The Lord has given us every opportunity for joy. Okay, that's great. You guys can say that's great, Cody. How can we exercise this spiritual joy? Let's get into some of these. There is a book by Boyd, and he provides some references here that are in Philippians, and I'm going to share those with you. He made a list, so I don't have to. How do we exercise spiritual joy? There's 23 things, and I'm going to go through this list with you. We're not going to read the references up here. If you see the references, if this is working, the references without a book in front of them, where you're just looking at chapter and verse, they're all in Philippians. Philippians, it's a book of joy. So how do we exercise this spiritual joy? In prayer. Okay, do you have spiritual joy in prayer? When you pray, is it a burden? Is it a repetitive burden to you? Or is it an opportunity? Are you joyful that you have the opportunity to go before the Lord in prayer? I don't think I'm asking a difficult question. It's an honest question. What about him preaching Christ? Are you ashamed of Christ? Are you joyous? Let me ask it a different way. Are you joyous to share the good news? Do you have joy in faith? What about in godly living? Let me ask you this. Do you obey because you have to? Or do you obey because you want to? I'll tell you what. If you are obeying what it says in the scriptures so that you can earn your way to heaven because you just have to do it, I don't think that's very joyful. We are obedient to Jesus Christ because we love Jesus Christ, and we want to reciprocate the love that Christ showed us by offering his life, by loving him, by loving God, by loving our neighbor as ourself. You tell me which one is going to have fruitful joy. Let's go down through these. I won't stop at every one. I'm going to stop at one more main one. In Christ's day, what day are you living in? In sacrifice and service. In sacrifice and service. I'm stopping at this one because if you look up this word joy, and this is one I want to go to really quick. I'm sorry. I told you I wasn't going to flip to it, but I'm going to flip to it so I can give you the context. I apologize. Okay, let's see. Do I have this marked? I do not. Okay, Philippians 2, 17 through 18. Let me read this really quick. I apologize. Philippians 2, 17 through 18. It says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Joy and rejoice. Offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Sacrifice and service. You know, if you look up this word joy in Strong's, you're going to get a different word than what you find in the rest of Philippians. It means to be a bit leader. A bit leader. I had no idea what that was. I had to Google it. A bit leader. A bridle. A bit. The iron part of a bridle which is inserted in the mouth of a horse. I mean, I knew what the bridle was, but you guys see what I'm saying. And its appendages to which the reins are fastened. It includes the bit mouth, the branches, all the whole kit and caboodle, right? To put a bridle upon a horse, to put the bit in the mouth. To bridle. Joy and sacrifice and service wherever the Lord is going to direct you to do it. You rejoice in this sacrifice and service to be led by the Lord. The rest of Strong's, and the other one in Strong's, the rest of Philippians, is 5479. The previous one was 5468. The rest of it is 5479. It's the most common usage you'll see, which is cheerfulness or calm delight. Be exceeding joyful or gladness. Let's keep going down through these. In Christian fellowship, in the Lord, in worship of God, in care of the church, in whatsoever state, in salvation, in truth, when others walk in truth, in the salvation of souls, in the hope of God's glory, that our names are written in heaven, in the hope of heaven, when tempted, when tried, when sorrowful, when persecuted, when suffering for Christ's sake, and I'm sure that you can add more to this list. You know, it's a lot. If we go back here now that I have these up, you know, I said that joy was a choice. These scriptures bear out the fact that if we want to be the Lord's people, if we are truly being obedient, if we have love for the Lord and for others, we will have that joy. We will choose that joy. We will come before His presence with thanksgiving. These scriptures that I used in Psalms, they all tie back to this idea of choice. Psalm 97:12, I said, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous." Those that are righteous rejoice in the Lord and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalm 5:11, but let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. All those that put their trust. Do you want to be counted in those categories? Do you believe that you must choose joy? Now, I'm going to sit down in just a second. I need to do a better job, and I confess to each one of you that in these instances, I'm sorry I took it away. I should have had this up. I apologize again. That in these instances here, that I need to better exercise spiritual joy. But make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise in prayer. Make a joyful noise in your soul. Make a joyful noise to others. Make a joyful noise here. I need to do a better job of that. And I know I do. But I'm thankful that the Lord has provided the opportunity for me to exercise joy. And it is my choice to be a partaker of that joy or not. And I hope tonight that as we have gone through this, that you will also choose to be partakers of that spiritual joy. Thank you for your time.